Yeah, I said, look, don't worry about your destiny. Worry about your character. That no matter the amount of wings you give to your destiny, bad character has a way of putting pin to balloon that's floating. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please, let's get this clear. Evil works, even in the life of Christians, they produce negative results. And that's why Paul says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the manifestation of God's power in their lives. Is that okay? Is hindered because they do the works that are wrong. Therefore, Paul said, what are we supposed to do? He said, what we do is walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, and you shall not carry out the desire of the flesh. It is difficult to fight the desire of the flesh naturally by itself. That is, take it head on. What you do is that you ignore it, but you put your emphasis on walking in the Spirit. Now, he said, when you do what he called walking in the Spirit, what you are doing is that you are sowing seeds into the realm of the Spirit. Then it starts producing as harvest. Please, listen to this. The work of the Spirit, the righteous works, start coming out of you automatically as harvest, as fruit for sowing the right seeds into the realm of the Spirit. The question, therefore, is what is the right seed? Are you getting my point? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. That word faithfulness is the same word faith. If the Bible puts the word faith, some say faithfulness, but the literal word is faith, gentleness, self-control. He said against such things, there is no law. Now, that Galatians chapter 6 gave us an idea of what, well, I have a number of things I will give us as examples, all right, of what it is that means to sow into the realm of the Spirit. Let me say something. If you want plenty of mango, is that okay? You must start with mango. Right? Mango is a fruit. But you must start with the first one, the seed, which is mango, which comes from the first fruit that is in your hand, which you get from wherever. So if I want to have a mango plantation or cashew plantation or whatever it is, I will have to give you something to start with. And as a matter of fact, God gives us Christians something to start with. Let me just tell this story again. I've told it before. It will help me illustrate what I'm trying to explain. This book, I hope by now you have read it. Because if you have been hearing me for some time, I haven't read it by now. I wonder what's wrong with you, really. You understand my point? The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. You know the book? Yes, I've recommended it a number of times. The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. Now, in that book, Rick Joyner told a story about a man, two people that were going to, he saw doing works, you know. One was doing what looked like bad work, one was doing what looked like good works. And he wanted, God wanted him to judge which one of them would receive the higher reward in heaven. And he judged the way you and I would judge according to what his eyes could see. One man was walking, and he saw a cat cross his legs, and he wanted to kick the cat. But he managed to restrain himself, then he shoved the cat out of the way and kept on moving. And the other person was, you know, doing a lot of good works. The poor, he would go and visit, help the needy and all of that. And so God asked him simply, which one of them do you think I will reward more? And naturally, the other guy now who preaches and helps the poor and everything. Is that okay? Now, but God asked him that it's not so. Because in this situation, you can't see what I'm trying to explain it now. You can't see the things that are behind. The man who did not kill the cat actually used all the love he had not to kill the cat. Let me like this. He didn't do any good thing. He just didn't kill a cat. You get my point? Because he's deaf and dumb. And since he was a child, he was abused. His parents will lock him up either in the basement or in the attic so that, he was really roughly treated. Then when he was a young boy, they threw him out of the house. He had never really known love. And God said he had three measures of love. And he employed all the measures of love that he had not to kill that cat. I don't know what I hear what I said. But the other one, born of Christian parents, grew up, if he shouts, hey, the mother will say, oh, where is it? Who beat you? Oh, let me, is it the table? I beat the table back. You know, those kind of... You know, all those kind of things. He was a loved child. God said he had 100 measures of love, but he's using only 70. Now, the 70 you are seeing, is that okay? Is what is producing all these good works. To whom much is given, much is expected. All right? So God, using that principle, said, this man, I will judge him that he's got 70%. Why did that guy go 100? Because he had only 3, and he used the 3. But why did I tell the story? The story is that everybody has a measure, all right, of good that God has given him. And that is the seed that you sow into the realm of the spirit. Do you hear what I said? Why did I say that? Read Galatians chapter 6. Paul was talking about how to put things into the realm of the spirit. And he brought out an example. He said, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, selfishness, not able to give, from that flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the spirit, what he's saying is that when a man is a giver, he's putting his seed into the realm of the spirit. Are you seeing that? Are you following that? Now, he now said that, still explaining this, for this reason I'm saying to you, verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing what? Good. The doing of good is sowing into the realm of the spirit, like we said at the beginning. And he said, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. To explain it further, he says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And he was talking about sowing into the spirit. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Spiritual things, another point I should quickly point out, they have measures. I've said this several times. The Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 12. Paul talked about as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. This is how you sow into the realm of the spirit. The measure of faith that God has given you, you use it. I don't know whether you hear what I said. I'm not going to go into over that one now, but if you go to that Romans chapter 12, you see Paul was explaining about gifts and ministries, the work that each person has. You follow me? So he said to the person, to everybody, that each one of you has a measure of faith. There are things you do confidently, he was saying. And now this is what I'm saying here. I'm borrowing from that to explain this principle. So if I take my measure of faith and use it for good, I increase as my harvest my faith. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Go and read Romans chapter 12. You will discover that there he explained what you are supposed to do as a part of the body of Christ in building up other people. That's why I said this before. Please understand what I'm saying. There's no true man of faith that's not a cheerful giver. Now, listen to me. I am not talking just about money. But money is part of it. If you see a man who only lives by himself, that is, if he earns 200 naira, he can account for how he spent 199 on himself. That guy does not have faith. Two things. One, he doesn't have currently, and he won't have bigger faith later. You know, maybe later on I'm going to talk about practical, there's a title I give, anyway, Practical Guides on the Use of Money for Christians. You know, I will bring up that issue again, we'll discuss it. Money is interesting. It's one thing that is, you know the way it is. Those days, trade by barter. I need your services, I give you my services. I need your yam, I give you my tomatoes. You know, that kind of thing. But later on, what we do now, we'll not convert any one of them to money so we can take it around and buy anything with it. So it's a reflection of what you do actually with your time. Alright? Most of your life, what you do is you convert it, the value of it, to cash. So it reflects how you live your life. According to Ed Cole, alright? Between most of the day, what you are doing is working and earning money in exchange for the work that you do. So how you spend the money is a reflection of exactly what you live for. Do you get my point? Do you get my point? Well, now I brought that one up to explain the issue that how a man lives, especially when it comes to the matter of generosity with money, is a reflection on whether he's sowing into the realm of the spirit or he's not. Love, as an example, that's part of generosity, because I told you that generosity is not just about money. It's not just about money. It's about everything. If you read my track, Cheerful Giver, or inside that book, Grace to Prosper, I discovered the matter of Cheerful Giver. that a cheerful giver is not the man who gives money. He said, what do you mean? I said, because God does not look on the outside. He looks at the heart. There are cheerful givers that don't have money to give. And there are people who give plenty of money and they are not cheerful givers. There are cheerful investors. Yeah, there are cheerful investors. There's a special breakthrough right now. If you just give an offering, it will be yours. That's cheerful investing. That's not cheerful giving. That's what? Cheerful investing. Please, I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. But I like to take this thing from behind, from inside. Faith is what dictates the matter of whether your giving is cheerful or it's not. Now, bring another issue here. So when we use our faith only for, let me get something. No, that is not what we're talking about. That's still selfishness. But if a man, God gives him a gift, he gives him a dose of faith. He gives him a dose of love. So he says, in my life, listen, and this is what I'm telling you, I believe it totally. That is what Christianity is. The man says, okay, my life, these are our faith-based things, I'll talk again about matter of purpose, man on assignment, that God brought you to this earth for a purpose. So as a believer, you get up and say, my life is an assignment. Or God gave me life so that I might fulfill his assignment. And from the beginning, what he does is to give you a measure of faith. He gives the ability to do things to help other people. As part of the fundamentals of Christianity, this is where I'm going to, is that issue of walking in love. Did you hear what I said? I said it different ways. I hope I didn't get you confused along the line. Let me go back again. Let me summarize everything that I've said. I will just go in here. Do you understand me? You're looking like I lost you. I lost you. Yes, I did. All right, let me go back again. Listen, I'm going to talk to only you so that it will help me focus. I said, I've established, I'm sure you understood that, that he that sows, that when we talk about sowing into the Spirit, we saw from Galatians chapter 6 that he was talking about doing good works as a way of sowing to the Spirit. Because he talked about giving to those who minister to you. He talked about, as God gives you the opportunity, do good to all men. And he was talking about sowing to the realm of the Spirit as opposed to sowing into the flesh. Then I said that everything we desire, great faith, everything, is in measures. Life is in measures. Faith is in measures. Great faith that we need, all right? We don't have it to start with, but God gave everybody, Romans chapter 12, Paul referred to that in Romans chapter 12, that God gave everybody a measure of faith. So I said, this is how you sow into the realm of the Spirit. You exercise that little faith that God has given you. Then from there I left, I said, it is not, when I say exercise faith, Christians, this is, we're taught, most of us still live like that, as if this faith is about exercising faith for my own good. So we learn how to focus on the kind of car that I want and we get it. Do you get my point? And I said, no, that is not the kind of faith I'm talking about. Because if you look in that Romans chapter 12, you will see that Paul explained it as concerning the grace that God gave each person to contribute to the body of Christ. Are you getting my point? That the faith was not about what I will get. So I said, this is how a woman sows into the realm of the Spirit. He understands that, like Paul said in Romans chapter 12, that grace has been given to me according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, there are things I have that I can use to bless other people. And I said, the exercise of whatever I have as a means of blessing other people is sowing into the Spirit. And the fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, whatever it is, including faith in a bigger measure. Have I summarized it now? I hope you understood me. You know, the good thing about it is that you, by the time you finish understanding, you can't forget again. Amen? The Lord is good. I hope you understood what I'm saying. I'm explaining something here. Because you see, Jesus said something. And you know, then I said something before that Paul, people misunderstood Paul because they thought Paul was saying that Christians, that righteousness does not include works. I said that was not what Paul said. That what Paul said is that righteousness is by faith. But that if the faith is real, James explained to us, it must show as works. And that John the Baptist said, you bear fruit that is in keeping with repentance. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Are you getting my point? So I'm explaining, therefore, I also said something, that there are works that Christians must not be found doing. I've said something before, let me say it again. Sin, listen to me. God is not, if you are a Christian, say amen. If you said amen, that means that the day of judgment, God will not sit down and say, come, you. It's judgment time. Give me his book. Ah! Jaguda! He stole money. No, God was not going to do that. What he would do is that, I was in Onitsha, I preached that message. Beautiful. I said, there are two books, I preached it here before. But in Onitsha, I said, there's yellow book and brown book. I said, I'm the one giving the colors though. Yellow book is the one written before you were born. Brown book is the one written, was opened the day you were born, and it was being written as you were living your life. And that is how God judges. He takes the yellow book, puts it down, and compares the content of the brown book with that of the yellow book. That is, he compares your life that you lived with what you were supposed to be. He created you to be something. I said, this is what sin does. You see, all the sins you committed, once you gave your life to Christ, you were forgiven. So God is not stupid. He doesn't go and say, okay, we forgive him that time. Go and uproot, bring it out from where we kept it. No, he doesn't. He wipes it away, he leaves it. What he now does is this. He checks whether you did the works that you were told to do on the earth, according to your calling. If your judgment is based upon that. Once you are a believer in Christ Jesus, listen to me. You will enter into heaven. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You will. You need to become apostate for God to take your name and wipe it out of the book of life. Is that okay? For most believers, you will get there. What now happens is this. Go and read the journal again. I told you, go and read the journal. Level past level, when we read that side. Is that okay? Each person's level is judged according to how well his brown book correlates with his yellow book. Yellow book being the first one that was written. Now, let me get back to what I was saying. You know what sin does? Sin is the reason why men don't fulfill the plan of God for their lives. Sin is a poison. I keep on saying it. Sin is what? A poison. Sin is what? A poison. It is not possible for you to do the will of God if you are walking in iniquity. It is not possible. It is not possible. It is not possible. It is not possible. You can't be dishonest and you be praying. Say, God, lead me into the next realm of business. God say, with what? Dishonesty? You can't be sleeping around and say, God, I want you to show me who I'm going to marry. It's okay. You can marry Fela or Two Face or MK Abiola. I don't care. Are you getting the one I'm going to make? Yeah, no, that's it. You can't. Sin makes it impossible for you to discover the will of God and to walk in it. That's what sin does. That's why I said, look, Christianity is not about going to church. I like the fact that I teach people on Saturday evenings. You need to love the word of God to leave everything you have to do to come and see me. Yes? Because I'm not going to entertain you. You won't come and say, oh, there's this special choir that knows how to jam for you. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. No. I'm just saying that at least I know that you didn't come here to watch that choir. I'm explaining the fact that Christianity is not about just showing up in church. Christianity is not about, which one is your church? What is the grace that's upon your papa, the papa of your denomination? That's not Christianity. Christianity is the very life that we live. Are you getting my point? And listen, this is what I'm bringing out today. Every believer, all right, should understand that for his faith to grow, he must turn his back on the works of the flesh and start sowing seeds into the realm of the spirit. Are you getting the point I'm making? We have already established the part, because last time I spoke extensively about the love for the word of God, which is primary. If you are drinking in the word of God, it's your own good. It's for your own good. But now I'm explaining the issue of sowing, putting something out into the realm of the spirit. Love, let me end with that, because that's the main thing that we end up talking about now. Love, therefore, that's why you see, Paul talk about faith that works through love. What is love? Love is the simple old love that we knew, which we don't preach anymore. Yes. What is love? Helping somebody who is in need. What is love? I mean, showing kindness to somebody. What is love? Visiting the person in hospital who needs somebody to help him. What is love? Visiting the people who are in prison. No, that's what Jesus said. You know, it's just now I'm preaching this and I realize that I almost never hear it preached these days. Even me, I don't even think I preach it. Yeah, we forget. We forget. Most of what we call Christian activity these days is the real Christian activity. Is did you shine that pulpit very well? It's always around church. Now, let me say this again. There are very important works to do. There are. Except that you notice that when Jesus was going to emphasize, he always emphasized on giving to the poor, helping the stranger, visiting the sick. Now, you getting what I'm trying to explain? The meaning of the word visiting the sick is just helping somebody who does not have help. I want to leave that one with you today. Christians, we must turn our backs on the works of the flesh. As an example, jealousy, envy. Let me tell you how you know you are envying somebody. If his progress does not make you happy, if his progress is like, it doesn't concern me, you are envious. If it's somebody that's personally related to you and is making progress and like, eh, what didn't concern me? You are an envious person. Now, if Michael Jackson makes progress, it doesn't concern me because I don't know. He's dead now, actually. Let's look for somebody who's alive. Okay, Beyonce. Or Two-Face. Alright? If something bad happens to you, like, hey, poor boy, God help him, or if something good happens to him, you say, now wow. You know, like, it really doesn't concern me, really. If his album sells, he does not sell. Waiting in Naruana, waiting concern me, say, Two-Face sell album, not sell album. But I work in an office. I have colleagues. There are issues about promotion. If one gets promoted, and I'm not promoted, and he say, waiting concern me, I'm not bothered, I'm lying. That one, I lie. That one a bobo. Yes, that one is a lie. If I discover that my body is not excited, then I will speak to my body. Come on, wake up and behave. Stand right here and I want you to dance 5 minutes before the Lord for that guy's promotion. God of miracle, now my papa, now my papa too. Go on, dance. After that, go and worship for him. That's what is called keeping your body under. Are you getting my point? Let me say this to you. A Christian has no need to be jealous of anybody. And let me give you my gospel so that you understand what I'm saying. Every good thing that is mine, my name was written upon it before the other fellow was born. And before I was born. It doesn't fit him. Do you get my point? It does not. Remember the story of Cinderella? In our village you grew up, you don't know of Cinderella. Even for village, there's Cinderella did there now. You know when they were looking for Cinderella, how were they looking for her? With what? Her cap. Amen? What was it? Okay, so you know Cinderella, true, now your friend, now your friend. They used her shoe to look for her. It's a spiritual lesson. Did you notice that the shoe did not fit anybody else apart from her? All the other maidens in the land, they tried the shoe and they fit them. But the moment the shoe, actually the shoe, what used to do was a living shoe. Do you know what I'm saying? It used to change contour. When it look your legs, it no be like leg. You'll bend one kind, you won't know why. You will struggle, you know, go enter. The moment Cinderella's foot came, it just blended. And that's how your blessing is. It doesn't, nobody else can wear it. So if somebody got something, they say there's only one spot open. And there are two of you. And they promoted the other guy and they left you behind. And I said, well, enough for him. It's me they will have promoted. It's a lie. If he wasn't there, they would have sacked you. Listen, the reason why you have not been sacked is because of his presence. Better thank God for it. If he was not there, they would not have promoted you. I'm telling you what Christianity is about. Envy is not... There are things that God helped me with long ago. I'm not bragging, no, I'm just thanking him. Long ago, I learned to rejoice when other people make progress. And actually, it's because I know this thing I'm telling you. I know it. I danced. There was a time something happened. I won't give you details so that you understand what I'm talking about. There's a place where I worked. Somebody was trying to get promoted above me. So the paper went and then the one man on top saw it and called me. I said, oh, but what's going on? I saw it and I laughed. He said, I don't understand. I don't like this kind of thing. How did this come about? Why are these people trying to cause problems? I said, oh, boy, relax. This is bank you are dealing with. This is literally not a problem. I said, do you know why? Nobody can take my place. If this man enters there, it is his place. It's not my own. No, really, really. I've had issues before. A friend of mine, there was a post open. Two of us qualified for it. And they were trying to go behind the way. I said, I call a mutual friend. My wife knows what I'm talking about. I said, go and tell that, my friend, that it's not necessary. Because after a while, the fellow began to feel uncomfortable in my presence. You understand what I'm trying to explain? Because, of course, one day I didn't even know it was going on. I stumbled on it, on the matter. And so the fellow became very uncomfortable from that day. I called a mutual friend. I said, please go and tell this fellow for me that as God lives, I'm not angry. It's not nice. You should be open. This kind of back waka is not good. But Banky is like Joseph. He's not angry. You sold me to slavery. Joseph said, I know it's bad. But I know the plan of God. Therefore, I'm not angry. Christians have no business being envious. Christians must not lie. They must not cheat. You know the reason? Because you are sowing seeds into the realm of the spirit. If you tell a lie, expect to cheat somebody. God is looking at you and he will flog you. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Let me prophesy to you. If you're a businessman and you are here and you're a believer, you have a chance to go out now before my prophecy comes. Yeah, because if you hear it, you are in it. Okay, just say and agree. When other people are saying amen. But this is for your own good. Say amen too. Amen. This is for your own good. So you say amen also with it, okay? This is a prayer for business people. Any money you cheat your neighbor, you lie to get, may you lose double of it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Any business you get by betraying a close friend or somebody who trusted in you, may God take it from you with interest in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know why it's good you said amen? Because you'll be cured early. Actually, that's how God does it to his children. He loves you so much, he will not let you prosper in iniquity. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, he won't let you. He won't let you. The love he has for you is so great, he can't afford to let you prosper in iniquity. He can't. Therefore, once you put your hand into wrong things, he quickly flogs it. If you see me handling my children sometimes, you will think I'm a wicked person. And my reason, I said, you must learn the lesson. The other day, I told my son he's not eating breakfast. Simply, what happened? He said, hey, I want to eat cornflakes. His mother said, no, that is not the menu for this morning. You are going to eat your bread with your Milo. So the boy made the Milo and put cornflakes inside. When I found out, I said, cornflakes, oh, bread, oh, Milo, none of the above. Oh, yeah, to your room. I just read out the decree. According to the word of the Lord, no breakfast for Bobo this morning. He went to his room and he cried and cried and cried. I said, I lie. And as he was climbing the stairs up to his room, I said, you will learn obedience. You will learn how to tell the truth. You will learn how not to be crafty. I will teach it to you now so they won't have to steal your son, Joseph, from you, Jacob. You know what I mean? As an old man. I will teach it to you now. Yes. No. That is, he knows, my boy knows that if you want... One day he told me, I said, who did this? He looked at me and said, Daddy, if I tell the truth, are you still going to flog me? I said, yes. Truth or no truth, you are going to get flogged. He said, okay, I'm the one. I said, very good. You get 3 strokes of the cane. If you had lied about it, there would have been 6. There would have been 6. So, for telling me the truth, approach onto the judgment throne and collect 3 strokes of the cane. If you told a lie and I found out, the punishment for lying is separate from the punishment for that iniquity. Do you get my point? Listen, that is how a father teaches the son that he loves. And the God who taught us that, what do you think he's going to do to you? Don't worry, the king, quickly go home and repent, because you don't defeat. Say, yeah, I'm in trouble, Pastor Maggie, yeah. Go home in repentance. That you even know what to be afraid of, that's a good sign. Because a non-believer doesn't give a hoot. Yeah, he doesn't give a hoot, doesn't care. He doesn't care. A friend of mine told me how he pastored a church full of 419 people. The more he preached against 419, the more they kept coming. You know those ones are real unbelievers. Nobody will tell me they are not Christians. They are real unbelievers, real ones. Because a real Christian will have run away. A Christian will run. Any man who is going to a place where they are preaching against iniquity and he keeps going back is an unbeliever. A real Christian, once they are approaching like this, ha! Oh God, I'm in trouble today. The pastor, praise the Lord, the man collapses. Under the influence of conscience, all the pastor wanted to say is, the Lord has been good to us, let's just worship. He thinks that God, pastor has come on his 419 again. So those ones that kept on coming, I said, they are not believers. So if you are feeling bad, it's a good sign. That's your name,
amen.
Yeah, it's a good sign. It's a good sign. And when the cane lands on your back, just wave your hands in thanksgiving. I did that to my son yesterday morning. He was whining and complaining because mother gave him work to do. I said, come here. Go over to your mother's side of the car because we're driving out. God, I said, say after me. Mommy, thank you very much for the extra work this morning. He said, Mommy, thank you very much for the extra work. I'm going to do all the work you gave me. He was repeating everything. I said, it's because it's for my own good, and I'm very happy. I rejoice. I made him say every positive thing. And I said, you wipe that wine off your face. Next time I hear whining, because he said you should go and walk. The boy is 7. By the time you are 10, you will have learned all forms of righteousness. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's why I go declare home. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's how Christians also are. When God comes on your case, you lose something, please don't whine. I don't. Whining, no. You must learn to rejoice. I quickly look at, good sides of things. And there's something I'm trying not to tell you. Okay, God, let me not say anything. But I always look for a place to say thanks. I always look for somewhere to say thank God. Anyway, you know my car, my shiny car. A bus jammed it today. I said, Father, I thank you. My children were all inside. What if he had jammed the car from the side and flipped it over? You only took away the front. Father, I thank you. Lord, I worship you. Aren't you good? I said, Lord, I went into my room. I said, Lord, I thank you. Because all my children, every single one, were inside the car. So what if he had hit the car from the side and flipped the car over? Don't think it's imagination. My wife's cousin lost 2 children in one day, just 2 weeks ago, in something similar to that. Including the mopo that was sitting in front. So there's cause for that. Look, everyone is a God. Why me? Where were you? Were you angels sleeping? This motorway fine like this. What happened? Were you here on Tuesday? We talked about Jonah again. You know Jonah? If you whine like that, fish will digest you. The reason why Jonah was vomited was because he was giving thanks for the trouble. And I go, God, I asked you for deliverance. All you could put me is inside the belly of the fish. The fish will suddenly, next thing, you secrete a lot of hydrochloric acid. The guy will begin digest. Next thing, you see fish go shit in his skull and bones. This is what happened. He digested Jonah. Why? He was whining and grumbling. I hope you understand what I said today. Christians, we turn our backs on the works of the flesh and we start sowing our seeds into the realm of the spirit. And then what we will reap, alright, is greater grace. That here, somebody say greater grace?
Greater grace.
What we will reap is the greater ability to walk in love, walk in faith, walk in patience, walk in every form of good thing. Because he said, he that sows to the realm of the spirit, from that place, the spirit will produce for him love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, and all forms of good works of the spirit. Have you learned something today? Or have I entertained myself alone? All right, the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow down here to pray. Let's